Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
On this episode of ID the Future, we have a portion of Discovery Institute Senior Fellow George Gilder's talk on the creation and evolution of technology at Bar-Ilan University in Israel. Here, Gilder explains how information theory relates to intelligent design in biology.
So the pattern I find in all these technologies is a separation of content from conduit. If you mix the content and the conduit, you can't demodulate the message at the other end. You have to have a low entropy carrier in order to bear these high entropy messages. And this led me, and in computer science, a similar principle obtains. The essence of the Turing machine is that it's an abstraction. It can be embodied in any substrate that you want. You can make it of matchsticks or gallium arsenide or Lego blocks or silicon or carbon or, you know, it, in other words, the computer is independent of its substrate. It is not, the Turing machine, that's the definition of a Turing machine. It's a logical device rather than a material device in essence. And networks are, one of the characteristics of these logical devices, and it's also true of networks, which have seven layers of abstraction above the physical layer. It takes these seven layers of nested abstractions in order to determine what the network actually is doing. And similarly, in the computer chip, you can, which incidentally is the most intelligently and exhaustively designed device virtually in the history of technology, you can know the location of every molecule in a computer chip, and the movement of every electron you can map to Feynman's precision, and you still will not have the slightest idea of either what the computer is doing or what content it's processing. You don't really know what the computer is doing until you get through. Not even the binaries are fully definitive. You need the source code, and then if the computer is managing some creative content, you need to have the author of the content in order to understand the functionality and message that the computer holds. So microchips are designed top down. It's called hierarchical VLSI design, hierarchical chip design. It too was invented by Carver Mead about, 30 years ago. And Caltech. You need hierarchical design process, and you have to control everything. And when Discovery Institute, where I've been affiliated with them, I don't live in Seattle, I'm in Western Massachusetts, and I've been doing my newsletter and stuff. But when the Discovery Institute started doing biology and advocating intelligent design and doing its critique of Darwin, it occurred to me that the pattern in biology reproduces in almost every respect the same architecture that you identify in computer science and network theory. And so you get, and Darwin in fact made the critical error when he asserted that that his view was that inheritance blended, was a chemical blend, that the contributions from the two parents blend chemically, and that's how the characteristics are perpetuated. And this mixes content and conduit, and would over time produce just a muddle. You can't. You need a low entropy carrier in order to bear a high entropy message like the genome, which is one of the highest entropy messages ever imagined. So once again, you have this same architecture that you see in networks and in computers, and James Watson still doesn't understand this point. He's repeating the Darwinian error that today, in his book in 2003 called DNA, he says several times in the preface that what we proved was that life is nothing but physics and chemistry. That's what he's, nothing but or merely physics and chemistry. And it really shows once again that Watson didn't really know what he was discovering. Francis Crick probably did. And Francis Crick, however, got the crucial ideas of coding and of the code system that underlies the transmission of biological information from George Gamow, who was one of the greatest physicists of all time. He's a real titan, I think, comparable to anybody in physics. But also in biology, he saw instantly when the Crick-Watson results were presented that the only way this made sense as a vessel for inheritance was if it was a code that was independent of the substrate. He wrote a letter that's just recently been unearthed to Crick, which defined a code, and he got the code almost completely right. There were a couple details that went awry, but essentially Gamow was the one who made the key discovery, I think, which is that that the DNA molecule works because it is a low entropy carrier. The sugar phosphate backbone can accommodate any genomic message whatsoever, and it's separate from the carrier, so it can be transmitted over generations. You don't have a deterioration that a chemical transmission would necessarily impart. So you have Crick called this principle nothing less than the central dogma of biology. And the central dogma, as Crick defined it, is that the DNA message can program the amino acids into the requisite proteins, but the proteins and amino acids cannot influence or shape the contents of the DNA message. In other words, the influence goes from the word, the genomic program, which is independent of its sugar phosphate carrier, to the flesh, to the protein, but not from the flesh back to the word. The word comes first and programs the flesh, and there isn't a contrary motion. And this is essentially the central dogma of biology as propounded by Francis Crick. And it's the same pattern that Turing and Church, Alonzo Church, identified in computer science. It's the same structure that you identify in hierarchical design and microchips. It's the word precedes the embodiment of it. The information precedes the incarnation. And this is critical for biology as well. So it seems to me that information theory has a lot to say about biology, and the general proposition it casts is that information, as Wiener of MIT, Norbert Wiener of MIT, said way back early when he was developing his version of information feedback theory, which was important in computer science. Information is not material and can't be reduced to material, and no philosophy of our time can succeed if it doesn't come to terms with the distinction between ideas and information and the material embodiment of it. They're different things, and they can't be merged together into some muddle and of what I call a materialist superstition, that somehow where and all science is based on this distinction. It's the independence of mind separate from the physical substrate is critical to lending authority to any finding of science. If the mind is just a flux of material indistinguishable from the objects that it is scrutinizing, there's no reason to trust its analysis of these objects. The mind has to be independent. It can't be just some Brownian flux. It has to be an actual independent phenomenon. And Max Delbruck, the great physicist at, in Copenhagen with Bohr, who later entered biology and made crucial Nobel laureate successes in phage, said the effort of neuroscientists to separate to reduce the mind to mere matter reminds him of nothing so much as the effort of Baron Munchausen to extract himself from a swamp by pulling ever harder on his own hair. And this is really what Darwinian materialism is about. It's about sophisticated intellectuals trying to extract themselves from the swamp by pulling ever harder on their own hair.
Once again, that was an excerpt of George Gilder's talk on the creation and evolution of technology at Bar-Ilan University in Israel. Stay tuned for more excerpts in the future. For ID the Future, this is Annika Smith from the CSC in Seattle. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.